We are continuing with our series on We Are Complete in Christ. And this morning I thought and I said, praise the Lord that I did not preach this message. You'll remember that I was supposed to preach this 2 weeks back, but something just kept on coming up. And you know what I got this morning, the revelation I got this morning, I said, praise the Lord that I did not preach this when I wanted to preach it. Because now I'm preaching it with an added revelation to what I had. I got another dose of revelation. And I believe that this dose is for us all. And I believe that as it comes through, just sit there and just relax and take it easy. Believe that God is going to speak to you. He's going to show you our completeness in Christ. Praise be to God. Now, this verse should be one of our favorite verses. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. We've read this verse so many times. Now, today I decided to bring it to you from a different version. The Message Bible. Let's read together. It says, answer this question. Does God, who lavishly provides you with His own presence, His Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does He do these things because of your strenuous moral striving, or because you trust Him to do them in you? This is a beautiful verse. It's a beautiful verse because it says to us, God does not treat us according to what we deserve. We don't do, and then God does for us. God does things for us because we believe Him. God is not going to respond to our strenuous moral striving, us working hard to be in line with God. God does not reward us according to that. God gives us things according to our faith. The New Living Translation, it says, God gave you all these things according to the hearing of faith. Hearing of faith. Not by keeping the laws. You trying to live upright before God and believing that because I live upright before God, then I'm accepted before God and God is going to respond to me. God is going to answer my prayers. No, forget it. God deals with us according to Christ. If He were to try and deal with us according to what we do, we would not be here. So let us accept, let us receive His full grace, which says, I don't care how you live, I don't care how you behave. I love you because Jesus Christ died for you. He took away all of your sins, and therefore before me you are accepted. You are a child. You are a child. So as my child, as you allow me, I will be able to train you and bring you up to who you are supposed to be. So don't think that your actions will make you acceptable before me. No. I will train you as my child. I will train you to become the prince or the princess that I've called you to be. So forget about your acts. Forget about your behavior. Allow me as your father to train you. You will make mistakes. You are not perfect. And know that your mistakes that you will make, Jesus Christ has already paid for them already. So you don't owe me anything. You owe me nothing. So just receive my grace and favor, or grace and mercy that I want to pour upon your life. That's what God wants for us. The message that we have today, it goes back to explain the salvation, what salvation is and how God has saved us, why we needed salvation. Our foundation scripture is Colossians chapter 2 verses 6 to 10. The Bible says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, not in church practices. This is something different that I just want to stress today. We can be rooted in church practices, and we think we are rooted in Christ. We can do things that we've seen people in church do, and we think we are doing those things in the Lord. Don't be rooted in church practices. Be rooted in Christ. Be rooted and built up in Christ. Don't be built up in the doctrine of your church. And established in the faith. That is the contrast of being established in the law. Be established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Why would you be in thanksgiving? Because all of a sudden, all is done for you without striving in your own strength. The Lord demanded you to do certain things, and you failed to do those things. You could not do those things. So now in the faith, we say Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. So he lived according to the law. So he met the standard of the law. And when the law was satisfied, then the Bible says, then God could put the law aside and say, now I'm going to bring in my Holy Spirit to be the one who will guide you. Amen. Not the law anymore. That is in Galatians chapter 3. So now we are led by the promptings of the Spirit. Romans chapter 7 verse 6. We are no longer led by the law, but by the promptings of the Spirit. Look at what faith has done for us. Look at what Christ has done for us. Praise be to God. And then it says, verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, through empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and you are complete in him. What does that mean? God requires only faith in what Jesus did for us. You are complete in him. There is nothing that you have to do. You don't have to fast. You don't have to pray for 2011 hours. You don't have to be baptized. All those things, we do them as a statement of our faith. We don't do those things to access our relationship with God. Those things we still do today, but they are a statement of our faith. I have believed, therefore I have spoken. I have believed, therefore I act and I live. You don't act so that you can believe. Praise the Lord. And who is the head of all principality and power? That is Christ. Now today, I hope you remember when we closed off chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. From verse 19 to verse 23. The Bible talks about His great power. It says, Paul was praying there, I pray that you may understand, receive a revelation of the greatness of his power that is toward us who believe. And then he said, it is the same power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him on high, on his right hand side, on the throne. God used his great power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him on the throne, on his right hand side, saying what? He's got authority. And then the Bible says he made him to be the head for the church. He seated him far above all principality and power. You remember that part? That's how we closed the last chapter of the book of Ephesians. Now let's look at chapter 2. Now you and I know that in the beginning there were no chapters and verses in how the Bible was written. The chapters and the verses were put in there for reference purposes. So you need to read the letter. It's a letter. Those chapters and verses of the book of Ephesians, it's one letter. So how do you read a letter that is written to you? You read the whole letter so that you can understand the subject. So when we read the Bible, we don't stop at the last verse of the chapter and say a new subject is starting. We continue. Now let's look at this now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and it's continuing from the last part. Jesus Christ being raised up, seated on the right hand side of the Father, and he made you alive. When he raised Jesus Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and he lifted him up and he set him on his right hand side, the side of authority. The Bible says, when that happened, he made you alive. He made you alive with him. It was the same process. Now remember, why did Jesus come to die? He came to die because we lost the authority that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden. God had given Adam authority in the Garden of Eden, and Adam gave that authority over to Satan. So we lost authority. So now when God needed to restore that authority, somebody had to pay for the sin that was committed by Adam and Eve. And when Jesus Christ paid for us, in other words, he was dying in our place. So when he was raised, we were raised with him. Understand that. When Jesus Christ was raised, we were raised with him. He was not raised for himself. He was raised for us. So when he was raised from the dead, see yourself as being raised from the dead. Rise up with him. When he is sitting now, because now he's sitting on the right hand side of the Father, see yourself sitting on the right hand side of the Father. He is far above all authority and power. See yourself as above all authority and power. This happened for us. This happened for us. Let us not look at him and say how exalted he is and we stop there. Let us realize how exalted he is, and then let us see that we are with him. We are joint heirs with him. Joint heirs. So the same victory and power that he experienced is what we experienced. This verse says, and he made you alive. So the word end shows the continuation of the subject in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23, meaning we were raised with Christ. Therefore, we have his victory and authority. He's seated on high, on the throne, above all principality. That's where we are seated right now. This is confirmed in verse 5 of this chapter, where Paul said, God made us alive. So, Bazalwane, the revelation that you and I must get today, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. When he was lifted up to be set on the right hand side of the Father in authority, far above all principality and power, we must know that we were set far above all principality and power. Now, when we get that revelation, it makes the devil such a small thing to deal with. Can you see now? You no longer now see the devil as this big enemy. No. Now you are aware that he was overcome by Jesus. So actually, when Jesus overcame Satan, he was overcoming Satan on your behalf. So you have already overcome Satan. You have already overcome Satan. Satan is already under your feet as a child of God. See yourself like that. See yourself like that. Get the revelation. Just like we said, when we're talking about a prince or a princess, that has to get the revelation that I am a prince here. I am a princess here. I have authority here. Get that revelation. Now, let's check this verse. It says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in trespasses and sins. So what does it mean? We have a lot of dead men walking around. We thought we were alive, but the Bible says we were dead in trespasses and our sins. This tells us, this gives us the reason why we need to receive what Jesus Christ did for us. It's not one of those things that we do. It is the thing that we have to do, because otherwise we are still dead in trespasses and in sins. Trespasses and sins that should not be having hold on us, because somebody paid the price for us. Why should we still suffer the consequences of those sins and trespasses? Because somebody has paid the price for us. Praise the Lord. So when Adam and Eve sinned, spiritual death took place, where a separation occurred between God and man. Spiritually, there was a separation between God and man when they sinned. You remember God said, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And they surely died. Now, what we missed to understand in the past was that death starts in the spirit and eventually manifests itself in the soul or in our physical bodies. The example that Jesus Christ gave us when he cursed the fig tree and the fig tree died from its root. You remember that story? When they came back and Peter said, Lord, the tree that you have cursed, look, it has died from the root. The leaves still looked fine, but the roots had died. So what did that mean? That meant that that tree was no longer going to give fruit. It was dead. So death started in the roots, and then it was going to manifest itself and would eventually see what? The leaves falling off and the tree falling down. That is what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. They died. And the word death means what? Separation from God. Spiritual death. That's what they experienced. But then, you'll see as we continue, then when that happened, then the soulish and physical death kicked in. You will remember that those guys lived for so many years compared to the number of years we live today. Because they did not know how to die. And then time went on, they started believing wrong, and as they started believing wrong, then death started showing in their souls. Death started showing in their bodies. They lived so many years. But today, the world is so full of the negative stuff. Stuff that we've confessed, things that we've said, and death now flies around with such freedom than it did then. That is why people die sooner these days than they did then. I mean, 900 plus years. Can you imagine living 900 plus years? Having your first child at 120 years. Think about that. So, can you see there? We see something there as well. That when death came in, the spiritual death took place, and then death in the soulish and the physical realm came in slowly. Slowly and slowly and slowly. Life begins where? In the spirit. They died in the spirit, so physically they were going to die. So there was also a loss of spiritual life. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18 says, we were alienated from the life of God. So can you see what happened here? When they sinned, they were alienated from the life of God. So everybody that is still not with Christ, that person is alienated. It doesn't matter how much good you do. You are alienated from God. You will go to hell as a good sinner. And it's for something that you shouldn't go to hell for. Because Jesus Christ has paid the price for you already. Praise be to God. So we were alienated from God. So there was a loss of spiritual life. And the other thing that was lost was communion with God. Was lost. That relationship with God was also lost. All of a sudden, the men decided to go and hide. When God came and looked for them, they were hiding behind the bushes, thinking God doesn't see them. So this death, the separation, took place in the spirit, and it resulted in death being passed on to the soul and the physical body. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3, Paul said, the lost human spirit actually became united to Satan. Remember now, before Adam and Eve sinned, they were united to God. So when they sinned, they changed ownership. Now they were united to Satan. United with Satan now. So, if you do not receive Jesus Christ then as your Savior and Lord, the fact is you are still united with Satan. And then what happens then? The day you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, what happens? You are back in your union with God. You are now united with God. When you were united with Satan, it doesn't matter how good you performed, how well you performed. We see that in the story of Cornelius as well. When the Bible tells us that he prayed and he offered gifts to people and he did great stuff, but he could not be saved. Jesus appeared to him to say, send for Peter to come and tell you the way of salvation. So in other words, when you are united with the devil, your good means nothing. We will meet a lot of so-called saints or we won't meet them. They are in hell right now. Because some of them never accepted Jesus Christ, but they majored in good deeds. They did good stuff on earth. They fed the poor. They fought battles for people's liberation. They did stuff. But they never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Because they never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, they died being still united with Satan. So when they die, they go to where Satan is supposed to go to. Remember, when you die, you go back to your owner. If your owner is God the Father, you're going back to your father, God. If your owner is Satan, what happens? You're going back to your owner, who's Satan. Praise be to God. Now, it says, Ephesians 2 verse 3. Paul said the lost human spirit actually became united to Satan, so that man was by nature the child of wrath. We are children of wrath by nature. Look at that word, by nature. Is it by your acts? Is it by what you do? No. That's why people miss it in many cases. They think, I'm still doing such so many bad things, therefore I'm still a sinner. No. No. You are a sinner by nature. It is your nature. Because you have not accepted Jesus Christ. And then what does it mean? When you become righteous, you become what? Righteous by nature. Your nature is righteousness. So when you sin now, you are different to a person that sinned that did not have Jesus Christ. Your nature now is righteousness. Your sins have been forgiven. And then when you sin, you've got the power inside you that will help you to grow and be able to overcome the sin. Because by nature now you are righteous. It's like you've lowered your standard. So you can easily then rise up to your standard where you are. So as death started in the spirit and eventually manifested itself in the physical, likewise, the new life takes place in the spirit. Do you see why we have to go through a series like this one, understanding that we are complete in Christ? Because our spirits are perfect and holy. Now, what we need to have happen is our souls need to be renewed to that truth. Then as we are renewed to that truth, the life now that is in the spirit, the perfect life that is in the spirit, it will then flow from the spirit to the natural. We need to go through the Word of God and learn about our completeness in Christ. Because we will then live like that. If we don't know it, we will not be able to live like that, because our minds, the mind is like the key. Key to the treasure house. Your spirit is the treasure house. So now, what needs to happen is for you to be able to enter the treasure house, you need the key, which is what? Renewed mind. So us going through this word, we are renewing our minds. And then as we get renewed in our minds, we are entering into the treasure house of the Spirit, where everything is complete already. Everything is there already. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So, new life takes place in the spirit and eventually manifests itself in the physical. But check this out. That manifestation will be proportional to how much believers renew their minds. It's not God who sits and decides this much for this one, that much for that one. God is not like that. 3 John verse 2 says what? Beloved, I wish above all that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind. So God is not the one who determines how much we walk in. We determine by how much we renew our minds. So if I don't see what I want, then it's easy. Then I don't have to give up and think I'll never get it right. What do I need to do then? I just have to spend time in the Word. Just meditate on the Word. As I keep on meditating on the Word, I am renewing my mind. And one day, I will see this thing coming to pass and things will change. Amen. Amen. So there is hope for me. Don't look at me. Don't look where I am right now. I'm telling you, there is hope for me. Because I've decided to give myself time in the Word of God to allow the Word of God to change me. And the Word of God is going to produce that which God wants it to produce. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now let's read verse 2. Verse 2 says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Check this out. We did not know this when we were in the world. We did not know that we were under the prince of the power of the air. We did not know that we had a spirit that was working in us. Now, you either have the spirit of God or you have the spirit of the devil. When you accept Jesus Christ, all of a sudden you have the Spirit of God living inside you. You're no longer directed by the devil. The prince is no longer in control of your life. But before you accept Jesus Christ, the Bible says what? You are still under the power of the prince of the air. There is a prince of the air. There is no sitting on the fence. There is no in between. You are either this side or you are on this side. When you are on this side, you are on this side all the way. You may show and manifest things from the other side, but the fact is what matters is you are on this side. That's your nature now. When you are on this side, you are this side all the way. You may show and reflect things of the other side, but that means nothing to you. You are going to be treated as per according to where you are. That's why the Bible says our righteous deeds did not help us when we were in sin. It meant nothing in terms of our salvation with God. They meant nothing. So as a result of spiritual death, mankind began to walk opposite of the way that God had intended. Now, it didn't happen all at once. Remember, when they first started, the world was not as bad as it is today, those days. So people gradually were moving away from God. And Romans chapter 1 verse 18 tells you exactly how that happens. You must check Romans chapter 1 verse 18. Must check it when you get home. It tells you exactly how does it happen that people gradually move away from God. So it didn't happen all at once. It was a step-by-step departure from God. Now, in the same way that this bondage to sin was universal, remember, we spoke about all of us were in the darkness. So it was universal for all of us because of what Adam did. Okay? So the same way that our bondage then to sin was universal, our resurrection with Christ, it is what? Universal as well. It is not because of what we do. Once we receive what Christ did for us, universally, we are resurrected with him. And then we can access his victory, everything that he has. That's why we are renewing our minds to what God has given to us. Why? Because we are complete in Christ. We want to understand our completeness in Christ. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So we should not then identify with our old sin nature and not identify with our new righteous nature. In other words, don't look at what you do that is of the devil. Identify with what you are in the spirit. All the time. So you may be down there, but start looking at yourself being up there. Start identifying with who you are in the spirit. As you identify with who you are in the spirit, that is how you are going to grow from down here, move from there to a point where you can live where you're supposed to be. Even basic life principles tell you, if you see yourself as a low thing, looking down upon yourself, you'll never grow in life. You'll never become something big. I'm just talking about the principles now, general principles of life. So the same thing, where do those principles come from? They come from God. God does not want us to see ourselves in the mud that we may be in. He wants us to see ourselves as being clean and in the palace. As a prince or a princess. See yourself. And then when you see yourself like that, that is going to draw you. Even when you feel it's hard where you are, you feel like it feels like you cannot come out of this. What you see will draw you. It will pull you up and it will get you to where you're supposed to be. That is how people break away from stuff in the natural. They do not look at where they are, how stuck they are. They lift their eyes up and they see themselves free. And then as they see themselves free, then they are getting power to move to where they are supposed to be. Focus on the complete work of Christ. Focus on that. Because your focus on it will take you out of the situation that you are in. So don't try to say, in my strength, I'll get this right. Don't. Allow God to do it for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We also see in this verse that Satan is the one controlling the unsaved. They are under the control of Satan. Now, not all demonic activity is as obvious as it is in those who are demon-possessed. Those who are given to pride and those who are given to selfishness are being controlled by Satan too. Doing it for myself and thinking only about myself. You've just allowed Satan to come and take control over your life. So we should not allow pride. I'll show them who I am. We should not allow pride to take over our lives. Don't try to protect yourself by pride. And think of other people as well. Don't think only about yourself. If you think only about yourself and you don't care about other people, you must know that you're being selfish. And at that point in time, the devil is in control over you. It doesn't mean that you've lost your salvation, But it means you are under his direction at that moment in time. Even though you are born again, when you die, you will go straight to heaven. But the devil had an opportunity to use you. They are saved, are deceived, and they are controlled by the prince of the power of the air. There is literally a spirit, the spirit of Satan, which is working in the people who are not saved. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 that the God of this world, who's the God of this world? Satan. The God of this world. And then it should make sense to us why the world is in the chaos that is in. Because our God is not the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. That's why there is killing, there is stealing, there is destruction. But we are in this world and not of this world. We are like ambassadors that are sent into a country, and our provisions, protection, and everything comes from the country we come from, not the country that we may be living in. Go to the embassy, American embassy, and see how they live there. They live differently to how you and I live there in South Africa. Because they are dependent on their government, not on the South African government. So we, here on earth, the God of this world is the devil. But our God is the one that is looking after us. So we can then be safe from what this world is experiencing. But that safety and everything that we will get from God, it will be dependent on the renewal of our mind, how renewed our minds are, how much do we understand what belongs to us? Because then we can use our faith to receive those things that God has given to us. Praise the Lord. Now, the word disobedience is specifying the unbelievers, those who have not put their faith in Christ for salvation. The spirit of Satan works in them. That's what the Bible says. It says that the evil one is working in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, check that out, by nature, children of wrath, just as the others. By nature. What does that mean? By nature. What does it mean? So before we were born again, we were driven by the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The word nature refers to the essential characteristics and qualities of a person or thing. Here Paul was saying that before salvation, all of us have a natural disposition to sin. Natural disposition to sin. It is not our individual acts of sin that make us sinners. Understand that. That is why then it does not make sense. You find a lot of people saying they will not accept Jesus Christ because they honor God. They feel that they will not live a hypocritical life. Because they say, if I look at what I do, I will dishonor God. So out of honor for God, they say, I will never accept Jesus Christ until I have fixed the wrongs that I'm doing. Unfortunately, they are robbing themselves. It is not our individual acts of sin that make us sinners. You are not a sinner because you sin. You are a sinner because you belong to Satan. You have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You are a sinner. So, sinning for you is coming from who you are. It is our sin nature that makes us commit individual acts of sin. Romans chapter 5 verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience," it's talking about Adam, "for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinner." Can you see that? You were not made a sinner because you sinned. You were made sinner because Adam sinned. That has to be clear. I am not a sinner because I sinned. I was a sinner because Adam sinned. And then it continues. So, also by one man's obedience. Is it your obedience? Eh? It's not your obedience. By one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So you are made righteous by the obedience of Jesus Christ. Not your obedience. So don't allow the devil then to rob you and say, "I need to fix myself first." No. You are a sinner because of Adam who sinned. You can become righteous because of Jesus Christ that paid the price for your sin.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Therefore, salvation is not a matter of stopping sin. Even if we had the ability to never commit a sin again, that still wouldn't change our nature. That's why we must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again, because if you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven." So the born again thing transfers your status from belonging to Satan to belonging to God. That is what it means. That is all that it means. It does not mean that you don't sin anymore. It does not mean that you will never sin again. No, it just means that you have allowed God to transfer you from being in the kingdom of Satan to his kingdom. That is what it means. Verse 4, second last verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. This is something. When you read here, verse 3, it says, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." And then you come to verse 4. "But God, as lost as we were, but God, who is rich in mercy," check that out. He is rich in treating you better than you deserve. Who is rich in mercy, because of his what? Pity for you? No. Because of his great love. So without God, every person and every situation is hopeless. But God has intervened.
Amen.
You don't have to stay there anymore.
Hallelujah.
You can come out now.
Lord.
Praise be to God. The lesson is, regardless of how bad the report is in the natural, we need to remember, but God. If God can do that in that situation, that was a situation of life and death, but God. Now think about your situation now in your life. Whatever situation you may be dealing with, but God. If you can understand that, God can intervene. Understand that. Praise be to God. So this verse also reveals God's motive for providing salvation for us. God wasn't motivated to save us through pity or even a sense of obligation as our creator. No. No. He was motivated solely by love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. God is what? Love. If you want to understand the nature of God, he is what? Love. So when you see certain things in the Bible and you understand who he is love, then you understand what is happening in every situation. You will be able to see what is happening in every situation as long as you keep in mind that God is love. Because you know, at times, people always talk about when God would come and kill a nation. Kill, he said to the Israelites, go and you kill everything that lives, dogs, cats, and everything, cattle, everything, even babies. Kill them. And people say, what kind of God is like that? How do we cure cancer today? We use chemo, we use radiation, where we use something that kills the cancerous cell to save the rest of your body. So when cancer is being killed by that radiation or chemotherapy, when those cells are killed, we don't say we hate this person. We understand that what is happening there is we are killing the cancerous cells. Because if God allowed what those people were practicing, some of those people were practicing stuff that would have destroyed the world sooner. They were practicing things. You must read the Bible. Stuff that they were practicing. Stuff that you know you should never do, and they were practicing it. It was acceptable. Now, you know what happens. People do this. Other people see what they're doing and nothing happens to them. What do then? People always gravitate towards bad. And the whole world would be filled with that. Cancerous cells. So God will never be angry at you again. Because of Jesus Christ. He poured all of his anger on Christ. Isaiah 53. Verse 5 and Isaiah 54 verses 9 and 10. He will never be angry at you again. And the last verse for today. Even when we were dead. This is powerful. Think about this. Even when we were dead in trespasses. Even when we were dead in trespasses. God made us alive together with Christ. And then he stresses this point. By grace, you have been saved. So you were not saved because you did good. You were saved by grace. This is an amazing, unconditional act of love performed by God in Christ. Mm-hmm. Think about this as well. Do you think it is love for the Father to send his Son to die for other people? Is it love? What is it? It is love. It is love. Can you see what love can also cause you to do? So don't define the nature of God by a single act. You know, on our Facebook page, we've had people that have responded to the message and say, we'll never believe in your God the God that decided to sacrifice his child for other people? What kind of a father is that? They are trying to define God by a single act, and they don't understand the motive why he did it. Praise the Lord. So this didn't happen after we had straightened up our lives. Our salvation didn't come after we had straightened up our lives. But while we were dead in sins, we were raised in Christ. Boom, taken out. So remember, then your authority then is not going to be dependent on how holy you act, how well you behave. Your authority is dependent on your position. Amen. With God.
Hallelujah.
We are complete in Christ. We don't have to live in a certain way to be able to experience what God has given to us. We can experience everything because of our completeness in Christ. This was an act of grace, independent of our efforts and works. Romans chapter 3, verse 27, it says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. We cannot boast. I cannot boast and say I have received this because of what I did. I cannot. So, it is excluded by what? By what law? By the law of works? No. But by the work, by the law of faith. It's not what we do, but it's the belief in what God did for us. God gave Christ life to us who were dead in sin. He did it while we were in sin. So God will bless you today regardless of where you are. Because he blesses you based on what Jesus Christ did for you. Don't allow the devil to tell you that you do not deserve God's blessing because of the way that you live. Because you don't do this enough, because you do that, and all the stuff. God does not bless you because of your actions. God blesses you because of what Jesus Christ did for you. When you see the goodness of God, you become closer to him. And as you see his kindness, when you get closer to him, your communion with him, it will help you then to be able to overcome the stuff that was binding you in the past. Romans chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible says God uses his kindness to lead people to repentance. He does not use death. He does not kill people to make them to repent. No. He uses his kindness. Truly, salvation rests in the work of God through Christ alone. Hence, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So in other words, walk how? Not by trying to keep the law. Walk by the finished work of Christ. Because when you were still in sin, Jesus Christ died for you. So now, even today, you may still be not where you want to be, but walk by what Christ has already achieved for you. You received salvation by faith. Everything else you'll receive by faith. And when we said you received those things by faith, it was not because of what you're meeting certain standards. So everything else you do receive from God, you will receive it. Not because you've met certain standards. So this thing of Abba Zalwane at times going around and telling people that, you know what, I pray for 50 living hours. That's why God is doing this in my life. That's not right. That's not right. All of a sudden you're saying God is responding to what you do now. You pray for 20 living hours to have communion with the Father. You have a relationship with the Father. So when you spend the time with the Father, and God will reveal, will give you a revelation of who you are, and then he will be able to give you a word or something to do, and then you will see things happening because you are in communion with him. So don't take the glory from the Father. Don't tell people that God does these things for me because I do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You walk in him by faith in what he did for you, independent of your actions. You are not a Christian because you live in a certain way. You are a Christian because you believe Jesus died for your sins. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then you become saved. It says with the heart you believe, and with the mouth confession you are saved. That's now the process of how do we get born again. Believe in my heart and I confess. When I confess, that's the spirit of faith. Then I bring that thing to pass. If I have not confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, I am not born again. Doesn't matter how much I believe that he did it for me. Believe and confess. And then it happens. In closing, I'm taking you to the verse we started with. Hopefully, it will have more meaning again, because we've just spent a lot of time now trying to understand this thing that our salvation is not dependent on our works. So let's read this verse again. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving, or because you trust him to do them in you? That's the word we had today. I hope we got the understanding. Today we know for a fact that we needed to receive what God did for us, because by nature we were the children of the devil. So we needed to be translated from that kingdom to God's kingdom by believing in Jesus Christ. But then the second thing that we learned today was that we got that right, how? By faith, not by works. So everything else then that we get from God now, we will get them by faith, not by works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.